So maybe before we even like start with the first question, we should just go around and introduce ourselves so people listening can know who we are. So I'm Alejandra Martorella and I'm here for Critical Correspondence.
I'm Danielle Goldman.
I'm Didi Dorvillier.
I'm Trajo Harrell.
And I'm Zena Parkins. Great. So, Didi, just as a starting point, I'll give you a sort of entry point to talk about the work, not thing is important. If you can recall or take it from wherever you are now, what were your thoughts when you started working on the piece?
I immediately want to avoid the question by talking about my thoughts rather than my ideas, but somehow. In other words, talk about the conditions that sort of were, that existed when I was originally having ideas about the piece, which didn't happen all at once. Mm-hmm. So I have a two-part answer. First part is, like in the piece, there's always several parts. Everything has parts. So first part would be that there's always this conversation with my collaborators, with people when at the theater, when we're working at the kitchen, when we're working on the marketing, or when I'm describing to a friend or a colleague conditions of the work or aspects of the work. And I always use this, you know, originally the idea was da-da-da. As if there was some sort of specific original moment where the thing was born or the idea came to be. And for this piece, it seems like it has like infinite origins. And probably most people who make things experience their work like that. Or maybe there's like some moments of eureka, I got it, I see it, I see the piece or something. But mm-hmm. for this, there was many different things that made an idea about the piece that had to do more like with my life, the conditions of my life, or my sort of lifestyle, or this type of thing, kind of more personal things, even things related to my health. But I'll skip forward to part two, not to be mysterious, but just because I could go on with that forever. But the basic ideas were to have three, to work with autonomous media, in other words, work with the body with its own autonomy and sort of language of expression or language of existence or transmission, whatever. Not transmission, but the other one was cinema or a two-dimensional moving image. And then the third was not just one thing, it was a double thing. It was darkness and sound, or very low light and sound. And those things were kind of interconnected. But how to keep these three ideas separate and or allow them to be separate rather than keep, you know, rather than try to limit it. But the tendency is always to overlap and to interweave and to create transitions and to sort of sew it together or compose it, none of which I'm opposed to, but for this, my instincts were very clear about it. So that's what I was working on, is keeping, letting each of these mediums have their say, mm-hmm. as it were.
Mm-hmm. When you said the three distinct parts, you didn't mention the nine bodies. Right, which was the third. But I guess something I'm curious about is if you could even say why the impulse to keep them separate. What, if something drove that desire?
Well, I mentioned the bodies, but maybe I only thought of the bodies just now and I didn't mention it.
No, you said bodies.
You said bodies.
Okay, well, that's not the most interesting point. But I'm interested in why separate or autonomous.
It has something to do with expression and trying to not rely so much on the layering of these different effects that media, these different media have, to see, to just experience what would happen, what happens to one when it's just, it's, when it's just one idea, and then what happens to the next when it's just one idea. And then if rather than layering them, you put them side by side, how does, if we don't assume that that I need, as an artist, that I need to create a sort of, I don't need to duplicate what memory does, which is layering things. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't remember everything in one instant in chronology. You might remember it as a kind of nugget or a kernel or something, or like tapestry or something woven. But I don't need, as an artist, necessarily to duplicate that effect. What if I actually use it, you use the nine body sections like the letter A, and the cinema is the letter B, and the dark and sound part, the dark part is the letter C. So what happens when these things, rather than layered, they have this sort of disruption of a line somehow? And autonomous, yeah, it's connected somehow to not creating expression through composition, but letting the elements themselves have their own life, their own affective or expressive fancy or something. Is that?
And does that relate to the title at all?
It does. Well, there's three T's. There's three parts. there's all kinds of silly little connections that I can make, kind of cute connections. But yeah, I'm sure it's related to the title. Do you think it's related to the title? Could you tell me?
Well, the title seems to suggest that by saying that, and I'm not gonna make it onomatopoetic, but that nothing is important, that in a way that this layering of compositional expression could not be important, that each of these distinct parts could be at once important on their own or not important together or not important alone, that you open up the possibility that something can just exist without our needing to like posit the nature of expression on it. Mm-hmm. So in a way, that for me is what I thought.
Yeah, because importance suggests a kind of hierarchy.
Yeah. But then also I'm saying that nothing is actually important.
Oh, I see.
The stuff, nothing. That thing, nothing, is also important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because I'm getting, I don't know if I can articulate this, but I'm getting this image of a vacuum with the whole nothing is important, and with the whole autonomy and separation of aspects. Mm. It's kind of like a against a whole movement. You know, like you're going against the movement of making a whole, where you would combine and compose.
A whole, like W-H-O-L-E,
exactly.
Not a hole in the ground.
Yeah,
a vacuum to me refers to a hole, like sucking from a hole somehow.
Or no, but I was thinking of W-H-O-L-E.
That's very interesting.
And I was having a connection to how you first began to answer my original question, in the sense that you were talking about how there was not a clear beginning, there was not like a clear idea or concept or image that you were going to, but that it was kind of life, you know, and personal experience and the conditions of life that brought you to this place where then you decided to use this strategy to work. I can call it a strategy. And it seems, I don't know what the relationship or how to articulate what I'm seeing, but I'm seeing a connection between how you express that kind of lack of specific beginning to the strategy itself, or of kind of pulling apart. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's funny, I think, yeah. Well, I'm not sure if I'm going to follow up on what you're saying, but you're making me think in your description of the sort of pinpointing the process, or pinpointing the origin, or pinpointing the starting place. You have this whole, like, busy life of influences and thoughts and ideas, and then you have a certain moment where you concretize it, and it and you have strategy suddenly, mm-hmm. where you discover the strategy, and then you go on, and that's sort of the point of origin is where it becomes a strategy, or where it becomes a some sort of plan. And I think everybody somehow works that way. Not the same way, but there's always this sort of unconscious moving into conscious, or some people play there longer than others. But I think this is the first time where I actually, like, really looked at that. Like, was really living in that kind of questioning time before I knew exactly what the piece was going to be, but I really knew that there was a piece there. And I knew that, I had no doubts that, this is my life work, and this is what my process is. And I think, actually, just on a kind of political or cultural level, that up to that point, in some ways, that was, I guess, in No Change, I was living it like that too. But I think that's it's significant that up to a certain point in my maturity, I didn't recognize that was part of a bigger artistic process, and that you could actually articulate, you know, just because it was a vague time, it was a time of, like, reflection and wondering and not having something finite that you could describe, say, in a grant proposal or something. But I started to realize that was the work. And so it kind of makes it like my whole life is the work, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. And
very interesting to try to interact with. as the person that was assigned to come up with sound in some way for this piece, because for me, we started working really collaboratively quite late in the process, but we've been talking. I've been trying to get Dee Dee to tell me about the piece, to describe something to me, or give me images or something. And for a lot of time, there was nothing. And I didn't realize how important nothing was in the scheme of things. But I couldn't get you to... It wasn't to be pinpointed. It wasn't to be... I think you wrote one email to me, and that was it. And then we talked, and I would kept on saying, well, can you tell me something? And can you tell me something about this? And it was... And I knew that something was there, but it was very interesting how it unfolded and how it finally became articulated. And frankly, it wasn't always through words or language. It wasn't something that could be articulated in that way. And I thought that was really challenging. I mean, not that I need words, believe me, I don't, but it was challenging in just trying to get inside of it so that I could have something to respond to push up against and to offer, you know, that
because I remember one of the things that I did know when you would write to me was, I know there's a part with the dancers, I know there's a movie, and I know there's this dark part. That's what I knew. Mm-hmm. I knew that all the time. That's what it is. That was
there.
But in terms of, like, a kind of content that you could attach, a content that would, like, produce something for you or something.
There was rehearsal videos. Right. Are rehearsal videos, and then the composer goes in a little cave and
composes
makes
the video.
You know, stuff to try for the choreographer to try with the dancers in the next rehearsal that will be. Yeah, so it just was such an unusual process for me, and it pushed me a lot to think about why I was choosing making the choices I was.
Would you say that it? Because I'm really interested in this. Would you say that it Well, here, I want to ask you a question, but I want to say something first. Now I'm like blabbing. But I was thinking about leaving. Well, for myself, I need a lot of space. And in my work, like the thing that I do, my whatever specialty or something, I need to just like work on it. But I love to do that while somebody else is doing their thing. And I felt like that's what we were doing.
Yeah, it was perfect.
And actually, that's what I want when I work. That, I mean, just having discovered that, I love it. I love to work in tandem with other people. When everybody's working and doing their thing, and we're all making this thing, but we're not working in a democracy. We're working in like these like autonomies or something. That's really exciting. So I wanted to ask you if you felt like left alone, or did you feel like that sort of left to your own devices was useful? Or like what did
yeah, no,
produce?
I thought I was definitely finally in the umbrella of the piece, so to speak. You know, like in the tent of this world, and for me it was great the way we were able to work on it with after we talked about my initial ideas about what kind of sound, like proposals, that I just went off and did that thing, worked while you were working, and then started coming to rehearsals regularly.
Because basically, like, almost everything that you came up with the exception of things that we didn't have time for,
yeah,
like in the movie,
yeah,
almost everything that you came up with was perfect. Like, we just used it. Like, that was it. Like, it wasn't an issue of, like, a lot of editing. I mean, there was a lot of work involved, and time to make the pieces and time to mix the pieces and et cetera, et cetera. But I didn't have the experience of like a very extreme thing of like, this has to be shorter, this part needs to go here, and this is too fast, or this has too much of this affect,
right,
or nothing like that. It just sort of came out of the oven, and I was like, oh, let's cut a slice.